Chanan. Chanan said, Loga de Oraisa tuunasa atika de Moraisa de Tzipore. So the log measurement, the Torah measurement of a log is equal in volume to the old eighth which they would use to measure fresh brine. That's Moraisa in Tzipori. And that's the same size. I guess whatever they would use to measure the fresh brine in Tzipori, one eighth of what they would use to measure equaled the log of the Torah measurement. Amar Rabbi Yomana said, V'chachmana la debes Ravyane have michilim badvash. Right? He says he's familiar with that measurement, because that's the measure that the members of the house of Rabbi Yanai would use to measure their honey. Tani was learned in a brisa, chatzi shminis taveria tiberonis hayushana. He said that the quarter log, I think it's a quarter log here, is equal to half of the Tiberian eighth. Right? That's Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hadendi danhu. He goes, don't say it's, because they said tiberonis hayushana. He says it's not true. This is our measure today. It's not so old. We have our measurement today. Mama kari le'atika. Why is the Tana called, the Brisa called, the measure old, right? I mean, begin to halibiyome. Why is he saying it's the Sheminis Tibernis Hayushana if it's something that we're using today, that we're measuring today? So two answers. Ista Amre the Havi Ze'ira v'Rab Tia. The Ista Amre the Azi'ira v'Lav Azira Kemad Dehava. So some say that this was a measure that was originally small, then it was made larger. And some say that if it was made larger, then again it was made smaller, but not as small as it had been originally. Either way, it's talking about a measurement that wasn't exactly the same as it was before. So he's saying what he has is the ancient measurement, which was the size that they had in the Torah, the Revius Halog. I don't know the measurements. Okay, so Kama, who's Shior Shel Kos? So now the Gemara asks, we're talking about the measurements that we know what the size of Kos is. But in terms of the measures currently in use, what is the measurement? What is the size of a kos? Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi, Rabbi Yossi bar Baby b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, etzba'ayim al rum etzba umexo shlish etzba. So they say it's 2 fingers long by 2 fingers wide by the height of 1.5 fingers and 1/3 of a finger, which is the gear says wrong. It should be etzba'ayim al rum etzba'ayim. That's what the Gemara says elsewhere. Al rum etzba'ayim. That's what it is. I guess it's 2 fingers long by 2 fingers wide. And 2 fingers high, 2.7, and two the height of 1/2 of a, I'm sorry, 2 fingers wide by the height of 1.5 fingers and 1/3 of a finger. So it's like 2.7 or something like that. All right, that's the size of a kos. Okay. Rabbanan de Kesari, Rabbi Yossi bar Bevi, b'shem Shmuel. Right. Asya de Rabbi Nassan ki Rab Shimon. They said the words of Rav Nassan, which I guess we just said before. What's Rav Nassan? The words of Rav Nassan follow the opinion of Shimon and Mishnah. Kamad Rav Shimon Amar Bervius, Kain Amar Rav Nassan Bervius, Likashay Karesh Vevo Kazayas. Okay, so the Rabbanim in the Kasera in Caesarea and Rav Yossi Bar Baby said in the name of Shmuel that I guess the following words of Rav Nassan go in accordance with the Shita of Shimon and Mishnah. Just as Rav Shimon said there in the Mishnah that I guess this is the measurement that determines whether you're chayiv or not for liquids, including wine, to take out for Otsah. Is a Revius Halog, so Rav Nosson said the same thing. He says when the wine is in liquid form, the measurement that determines it is a quarter of a log, but after it congeals, then it's a kazayas. And it's probably more shayach with blood, with congealing on the blood than congealing on the wine. But in other words, when you're taking out a solid piece, you'd be chayav if it's kazayas. I mean, a solid kazayas equals a Revius Halog of liquid. Okay. Rav Simon b'shem Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Maisa bepirdas Rebbe shemesa v'tiaruas dama mishum nevela v'shal Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Simon ad kama. So Rav Shimon said the name of Rabbi Shuben Levi that you had this incident happened with regards to the mule of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. It died. I guess it died of a wound and it was bleeding. And the Chacham said that the blood that came out was tahor, meaning it didn't mitame midin nevela. The blood didn't mitame midin nevela. Right. They said that the blood of the nevela does not impart tumah as the carcass does. So then Rabbi Lezer said to Shimon, wait a second, up to how much blood are you talking about? Right? He said, up to how much blood from the animal carcass doesn't make somebody tameh?
Not how blood doesn't do anywhere.
I guess that's what he's saying here. Right? The Torah never meant...
The Torah gave the blood... We have a problem with the blood because they're afraid they're going
to drink it. Right? So machlokas... It's a machlokas masechah Shabbos, I believe. According to Beis Hillel, the blood does give off tumah. According to Beis Shammai, it doesn't. So then they discuss there whether even according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, the blood itself was pure, or whether it is pure only in the sense that it does not cause other items to be susceptible to tumah. Okay. But they definitely, it gives off, the question is the size. So here he said that the blood came out, and the blood's there, and he was metaharit. So he said, wait a second, it can't just be completely tar. How much blood actually came out? What was the size? So velo ashkach bay. So he asked Rav Simon, and Rav Simon, I guess, didn't pay any attention to him and didn't answer him. So what does Rabbi Lezer do? He goes up, Vishala Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He goes to ask Rav Shubim Levi, who says to him, Ad Revius Tar, up to a Revius of the blood does not convey Tumas Nevela. Yoser mi Revius, but more than Revius, is going to be to convey Tuma. Uba'ish le Rabbi Lezer, Ad lo chazer le Rav Simon Shmuasa. And Rabbi Lezer, I guess, was upset with Rav Simon, because I guess he didn't tell him what the answer was. He just ignored him. And he had to go to Rav Shua ben Levi. Why didn't Rav Simon ask him? I guess he was upset about that. Rav Bevai have a Yosef Masne Hadin Uvda. So Rav Bevai is sitting, and I guess he was teaching the same case. The same case of Rebbe's mule, which the Chachamim said that the blood of the carcass of the Nevela does not impart Tumah. So Rav Bevai have a Yosef Masne Hadin Uvda. Amale Rav Yitzchak Bar Kahana. So Rav Yitzchak Kahana said the same thing. Ad Revius Tar. He's asking. He says, "Arivias tar yoshem mikan tame." He says, "When you say that it's tar, I just wanted to clarify. When you say up to a quarter log is pure, but more than that, it's impure. Just to confirm, or do the sages rule, the chumim rule that the blood of the carcass is never mitame, which would then be like according to the shita of Beis Shammai. So he wants to know whether it's just because it's a small amount, or is it because it's never going to be? Same question. So ubayt be. So apparently, so Rav Bevai asked this. So Rav Bevai. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Kahana had asked this. So in response to Rav Yitzchak Bar Kahana's question, apparently Rav Bevai kicked him. Not sure why. So Amalei Rav Yizrika. So Rav Yizrika says to Rav Bevai, what's going on? Begin to show you lach at Boit Bey. Wait, he asked you a question, so he kicked him? What's going on? So he says back to them, so Amalei, begin to love a daite bibi itna bey. Because I don't have Yishuv Adas. I'm very unsettled. So something, I guess, you know, got to me. And I reacted. I did something, he didn't do anything wrong. It's not him, it's me. Right? He didn't do anything wrong, it was me. So the Gemara says, well, what was wrong with Rav Bevai that he was so unsettled? The Amar Rav Chanan, because Rav Chanan, or maybe this is Rav Bevai explaining himself. Right, so this must be Rav Bevai continuing. The Amar Rav Chanan, quotes a pasuk that says, Vayuchayecha tluyim l'chami neged. This is in the Tokacha, in Devarim. It says, your life shall hang in doubt before you. Right, so what is the pasuk? This is what they say, that Zeshel Keachitim Lashana. This is a person in those days, if you didn't have your own land, even until the Middle Ages, if you didn't have your own land, you had no means of supporting yourself. You had to go to the market. It's not like today where the market is easy. There you were, susceptible to the winds of trade. Ship could get stuck in the Suez and you won't have anything. So he says, it says, Vayuchayecha Tluim L'chami Meged, your life will be hanging down before you. That's the one who has to purchase a year's worth of chita at a time. Then the pasuk says, "Upachadata laila v'yomam." You'll fear night and day. Zelokeach ben asidki. That's someone, I guess, who buys, I guess, smaller amounts from a middleman. Below samim b'chayecha, and you'll have no assurances in your life. Zelokeach ben apaltor. That's like the one who has to buy from the bread from the baker. Paltor pas paltor. One who buys from the baker. And he can't even afford to buy wheat on a weekly or monthly or yearly basis. He has to live day to day. So you're very unsettled. You're very unsure. He doesn't have his own property. He's subject to everybody else. So he's very unsure. Va'ana samechna la'palter. Rav Bevai says, I'm in the worst state that I rely on the baker. So that's why I didn't have the presence of mind to respond according to Rav Yitzchak Bar Kahana's question. He just didn't have Yishuv Adas because he wasn't making a parnasa. He didn't have what to support himself. Umal kudun. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's the halacha regarding the blood of the nevela? What's the halacha? So, heyid Rabbi Yeshua ben Petora, al dam nevela shutar. So, it quotes this on Mishnah in Idios, in the eighth parak of Idios, because it says heyid, that's all the Mishnah is in Idios. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Petora, he testified that the blood of the nevela is tahor. Okay, which that means, that seems to imply that it's, no matter what the size is, even more than a quarter of a log, that the blood would be tahor. So then the Gemara asks, wait a second, is that really true? Mahu tahor. What does he mean when he said that it's tahor? Is it tahor mila hachshir? Maybe it means that this blood is considered pure in the sense that it can't prime other things to become tar, right? You have Yachaf Adam.
Think, it is one of them.
What?
It is one of them.
Blood is one of them. So even blood, though blood is one of the seven liquids that render an item to be, to prime items for tahur, for to become tameh, maybe the blood of the nevela is not deemed blood for that purpose, but as but itself imparting tumah, maybe it does give tumah.
Right?
Blood
is one of those things that primes. It can't be one of the things that make you tameh. Because if it's tameh, it's not a primer.
No, it is no, that's what he's saying right now, that it can in itself is tameh. In addition, it would make, let's say you have an apple. An apple by itself can't impart tumah. If the blood gets on it, then it would impart tumah.
If that's tumah in itself,
right?
It doesn't make it susceptible to tumah. It makes it tumah. That apple's now tumah.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you.
It's one step further than that.
No, because if a food item cannot contract tumah from anything, unless it becomes primed. Right, so this apple, even if a mace touches it, it's not going to become tameh, unless it's primed. So the blood, even though the blood itself is tameh, it's not going to impart a tumah. It first has to prime this thing. So he's saying that the blood itself is tameh, so it can convey tumah to something that's primed, but it can't prime the apple that we're talking about here. So mal tar tar milhashiv aval tamos betameh. That's what Rabbi Shua ben Levi is saying. Okay. So it itself can be tameh, but it doesn't render something else susceptible to tumah. So tumah taninan. Now the Gemara says, maybe it's where the Gemara is going, where you're going, but the Gemara is asking, now how can you understand Rav Shuvah B'Torah that way? The plus it has another Mishnah, so Mishnah in Machshirin. I don't think I've ever opened up a Machshirin. So Mishnah Machshirin.
Right?
What?
Yeah,
it's there. It's in the back.
What's the back one?
It's one of the ones that you always have to find someone to learn when you have to solve them. Okay, Tama Taninan, learned in the Mishnah over there, Dam HaSheretz, the blood of a creeper crawler thing, right? The blood of a sheretz, Kivsaro, is the same thing, that it's the same din like its flesh. Mitama Ve'ein No Mashir, Ve'ein Lana Kayotzeveh. The blood of a sheretz, it itself is Tamei, but it cannot. Its blood doesn't prime, and there is nothing else similar to the dam of the sheretz. Well, that means the blood of the nevela is not similar to it. So that means the blood of the nevela is not the case where it itself is tameh, but cannot prime. So that cannot be the explanation of Rabbi Shua ben Petora, we just explained when he says tar, we meant tar from priming, but it itself is tameh. No, Mishnah Mechshirin says the only thing that has that rule is the dam of the sheretz, and it says also v'shir tumaso shedamo. Metamik of Saro. Wait a second. That's the answer. He says no. When it says, it's I guess what the Gemara, when the Mishnah said that we have nothing else like the sheretz, it meant that we have nothing else like it with regard to the measurement required for its blood to give off tumah. Right? What's the measurement of the blood of the sheretz equals the measurement of its flesh to impart tumah, right? The measure required for imparting tumah is that the blood is that it's the same thing as the flesh, which is like, I think kadasha, the size of a lentil bean, and that's not the case with any nevela. The flesh of a nevela is a kezias, while its blood is a chatzilot. It's a different measurement, right? So that's what it means. There's no contradiction between the Mishnah Machshirin and what Rav Shua ben Petora said. Rav Shua ben Petora can still be correct that the blood of the nevela is tar in the sense it doesn't prime, but it itself is tameh. And when the Mishnah said in Machshirin that there's nothing like the Dama Sheretz, it means there's nothing like the Dama Sheretz whose liquid measurement for tumah and solid measurement for tumah of the flesh is the same. That seems to be so. Amar Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, Peligi bar tre amoroin. Two amoroin disagree about this. Chad Amar, one says, the revius blood, the revius log of the blood, right, is tameh. V'chad amar tahor, meaning I guess about the nevela. One says that a nevela would impart tumah with a one quart of log of his blood will make someone tameh, and one says that even after you touch the blood, you're pure. Man da amar tameh k'Rabbi Yehuda, the one who says your tameh is like Rabbi Yehuda, and the one who says that you're tahor goes like Rav Shua ben Beteira, who says that he testified that the blood is pure. But that's not how we just learned it. We just learned it that it was taught, that it meant it just can't impart tumah. So what's going on here? Well, he says it's machlokes, because that's not how you, he says that's not how you interpret Rabbi Shua ben Torah. He'll say that Rabbi Shua ben Torah means the blood of a nevela is tahor. That's what he's going to say. Okay, so Amalei Rav Duma Demin Nechosa V'yos. Rabbi Yos means that's correct. So if you want to say that's correct, Rabbi Yehuda Moraina de Benesiava. Because Rabbi Yehuda was, I guess, that he was the one who passed into the house of the Nasi, and he was the one who ruled that the blood of the mule was, wait a second. Right. So I'm a Rav Duma Demin Nechosa. I guess he translates here that he was a traveler. He says Demin Nechosa means of the descenders. Travelers from Eretz Yisrael to Babylonia, bringing with them the Torah toward an Eretz Yisrael. So he said that's correct, because as Rabbi Yehuda was the halachic authority for the house of the Nasi, and Rabbi Yehuda ruled then that the blood of the, that was the case of the mule. He ruled in the case of the mule that it was only pure because it was less than a quarter of a log. But Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda out. Right, we just said before, Peliga Batre Moroyim. One of them was Rabbi Yehuda, who said the blood of a nevela is tameh. And that's correct, because Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of the mule, they said it was tahor only because it wasn't direct, the shear was too small. But not, but if it's above the shear, he would be chayiv. Sorry, chayiv, he would be tameh.
Rabbi Shuvan Levi said it's less than Rabbius.
Rabbi Shuvan Levi is saying that even less than Rabbius is tahor.
Yeah.
No, Rabbi Shuvan Petorah, I mean. Rabbi Shuvan Petorah is saying even.
Going back to
the case of the mule, no?
Yeah.
Right, so, yeah, so why is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's not here, so maybe, I know, so, but here's saying Rabbi Yehuda.
I'm reading the same thing here.
Yeah, maybe there's a Gerasa issue with the names, that's the answer for everything in Shkolm. What does he say there?
Yeah, he said the same thing, you're right. He said that Rabbi Yehuda passed him for Rabbi's house.
Okay.
So that was right, but when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was telling over the story, he said that you got the measurements wrong. The plus and the Rabbius.
That's why it's taller.
Correct.
But it would be tamei.
Had you had that, the bigger amount.
It would be tamei, as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua ben Petorah in the Mishnah Idios, who's saying that it's no matter what, it would be tar.
Correct.
Okay. The Mishnah then said that, you know.
But honest, the cases are different anyway. The Mishnah that he had over there was with the Nevela.
No, so I think he's talking about that's the case of Stam and Machshirin. But the Mishnah Edios said, "Hey, Rabbi Shua ben Petorah, al dam nevela shu tahor." So now we're going to interpret that as saying he really means it's tahor. He really means it's tahor. But the case of the mule, the reason why it was tahor was only because it was less than the shear. Okay. So now the Mishnah said that if you collect, the one who's collecting the funds from the treasury, he can't go wearing clothes that, you know, can't have the hem on it, he has to be very careful, so nobody will be chosh at him. So, right, Shema Yoni V'yomru, Tani Rebbe Yishmol, Kavutz Lo Yitrom Bnei Achshad. So I think this means that somebody who has like a lot of hair, right, his big curly hair, where you think you can hide a coin in the hair, he shouldn't be taking the money out, because maybe people will think that he put in his hair. And Tani, we went to another Breisach, is Barim Hayimifasfasin Biklikin. That they would untangle the locks. They would check the hair, I guess, of the one who collected the fuck. If he had locks, they would undo the locks in his hair. Tanu, they also learned in a brisa, midabrim hayu imo mishashu nifas achashu yotze. Sorry. He says here. What's he say here? He explains differently. He says here, the temple treasurers would untangle the matted locks of the one who collected the funds from the chamber after he exited the chamber to ascertain that no coins were hidden. And the article says that
he's... actually flows better with what's going on.
Right. The article goes...
long hair, and then after that, it switches some sort of woolen garments.
And the article says they were talking about wool garments?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, you're right. It starts with hair, and then it switches over for some...
Right, so here he doesn't switch it over.
Does that make sense?
Okay. It's one of those things again with the gears, I don't know. Okay, Tani, So they learned the Braisa, Medabrim Hayu Imo Mishashu Nichnas Atsha Shayotse. So they would speak with him and make him talk from the moment he walked in to the moment he walked out to make sure he didn't put anything in his mouth. To hide it in his mouth. So the Gemara says, what's the big deal? V'yamale puma moi. Why don't you just have him fill his mouth with water when he goes in, and then when he comes out, make sure he spits out all the water. If he doesn't spit out the water, you'll be choshi him. So he says, Amri Rab Tavchuma, but they have bracha. He can't do his mouth with water because he has to make some, not the bracha on the water. I think it's a bracha of the truma. That he's taking a truma, he has to make a bracha. You now have to make a bracha with your mouth full. Meiser, that when women wash, take off their rings to wash out the sedayim, they should have the ring in their mouth when they make the bracha. So you have to have the foot mouth. The only thing in the mouth should be the bracha. Okay. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachum, Hashem Rav Yonasan, Rav Shmuel Nachasan, name Rav Yochanan, Batorah Uvaneviyim Ubeksuvim, Matzanu Shadam Sarach Latsesi Deibrios Kaderach Shuyotse Deyamakam. So we find in the Torah and the Neviim and the Chesuvim that a person has to feel, appear, you know, that he's doing the right thing in front of people, just as much he has to feel that as has to appear he's doing the right thing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But Torah minayim, from where do we learn in the Torah? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Vayisim Nikiyim Hashem Yisrael, you have to be clean in front of Hashem and Bnei Yisrael and your people. B'Neviim minayim, how do we know that from the Neviim? But it says in the Neviim in Yoshua, Kel Elokim, the Yisrael Hu Yada. Right, the mighty one God, the Lord, he knows, and Yisrael should know. Just like Hashem knows, but Yisrael should know. He should know that he's good. But Ksuvim minayin, Ksuvim how do you know? The Ksiv, U'matzachem v'seichel tov b'inei elokim v'adam. You shall find grace and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Which is interesting, we say in benching, but we don't say U'matzah, that he was, we use that to turn it into a tefillah. We say v'nimtzachem v'seichel tov b'inei v'adam. We want it to be as a, you know, we daven, that people should look at us without suspicion. So Gamliel Zuga Shaul Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Bun. So Gamliel Zuga must be a name. He asked Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Bun as Ezehu Hamachuva Kusir Bekulam. Okay, I want to give a shiur. I want to give a source. Which is the best source that I should give? Which is the clearest source? Amrlei the Yisim Nikiyim Hashem Yisrael. The most unambiguous source is the source in the Torah, which says you should be guiltless before the Lord and before Yisrael. That's the clearest. Proof. Okay. So next Mishnah. So this one bothers me a little bit because we have the stories of the household of Rabbi Gamliel, who's the Beis Nasi, and they're doing things, they're taking advantage basically of their status in order to make sure that their Chachi Shekel is used and not in part of the leftovers. So he says, so in order to show how important was attached to this whole circumstance of the ceremony of collecting the money, so shall Beis Rabbi Gamliel, those people in the house of Rabbi Gamliel, hayenichnas v'shiklo ben etzba'osav, so they really wanted that their shekels would be the ones that were used to buy the korban tzibur. So I guess right before they would take the money out from the big pot into the three little pots, so they would walk into the Beis HaMikdash on that day, and with the shekel between his fingers, so I guess so people would know that it's not. He's not going in to take money, he's going in to give money. So he's going with the shekel between his fingers, uzar kol lifnei atorim, and then that he would toss that in front of the person collecting the money, he would see it and then he would take that coin and put it into the basket that's going to be taken out to go buy the korban tzibur. Right? So uzar kol lifnei atorim, v'atorim miskaven u'dachafol tocha kupa. And I guess the torim would know, oh, based on when he was coming, he would make sure that coin got into the box. Ein atorim torim achu omer lehem etrom. The one who's collecting the money can't begin to collect the money until he asks the gizmer and says, should I take the money? The hein omer lo trom 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 shlosh pamim. And they say to him, collect him three times. Now, I'm not sure if it means collect him, that's the three times, or he has to say collect him three times, which is really nine times. Right? Collect him. Right, when they do it with the Omer, they do that. But is it nine times? When the Mishnah says Omrim lo trom 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 shalosh pa'amim, then which way is that? How does that modify it? Okay. So then so in the Beis HaMikdash, the coins are in these three large baskets we mentioned before. Each is nine sa'. So in the ceremony, coins were removed from these baskets and then placed into smaller baskets of three sa'. Those are the ones that were marked Aleph Beis Gimel. So Tarim es Harishona. The chipa bikat vilios. So after he took funds out of the first large basket and put them into one of the smaller baskets, the one that was labeled the Aleph, that he would cover with the leather, he would cover the large basket he took from with a leather covering, and then hashnia v'chipa v'kat valios, then he would take from the second large basket, put it into the second small basket, which is numbered base, and put the leather covering on the second large basket. Hashlishis lo hayi mechapa, but then he would not cover, he would take from the third one, put it into the third basket, he would not cover. All right, so I guess they would do that constantly. And then the next time they would take from the third one first, cover it, take from the next one, cover it, take from the other one, uncover it, and then do it again the third time. So each time that you would use a different basket to start with. Right, which was like, why did he cover the first two baskets? Shema yishkach v'yisrom in adavar ha'tarim, in order to mark them as already having funds collected from them. This way you wouldn't be concerned and maybe you would forget and once again collect from that big basket. He's just saying, you cover it to make sure that you don't take it from it again. Okay, tarim esharish. Now the Mishnah says, what was the intent that you had when you collected from the baskets? Now this gets changed in the Brice and in the Gemara. It's going to change this. He says, tarim esharishon l'shem Eretz Yisrael. He collected from the first basket on behalf of the people living in Eretz Yisrael. Those are the people who gave the money on time. And then from the second basket, it was on behalf of the people living in the cities near Eretz Yisrael, who would come at a little bit later time. And he would collect the money from the third basket. His intent would be for the people living in Bavel, and the people living in Shem Bavel, or Shem Madai, or Shem Medinos, or Rechokos, those living out in the distance, who would bring them coins at a later time. But that's not necessarily true, because remember we always said that everyone was included in each time, because if you're only collecting in the first for those who live in Eretz Yisrael, so then the people who haven't brought their Maaser Shekel would be included in the Korban HaSibur. So the Gemara is going to bring a brisa to clarify what this Mishnah said. But now the Gemara talks about so base Rav Gamliel. So they would make sure that their shekels are the ones that were collected. So the Gemara says, what's going on here? Ilu hayu shnei kirayim v'tar me'echam ha'el chaveru shem lo pata chaveru. Let's say I have two piles of produce, and I separated truma from pile A on behalf of pile B. So just because I didn't take truma out of pile B doesn't mean that truma pile B still has truma. It counts that the truma was taken out from pile A counts for pile B. So who cares? Why is Rav Gamliel so careful that they want their coin to be taken? Even if their coin is not taken, as long as there's stuff, it counts for everything. If they take it, it has to be specifically their coin. So the Gemara says, no, hanachas ruach hi lahem, shlo yeh korban miskarev en l'shem t'chila. I don't think it answers the question. They got satisfaction from the fact that the korban tzibur was brought from their shekels. I think it sets a bad precedent. It's like, it's over everything. Well, if the wealthy guy's doing it, that means it's a good way to do it. Then I want to do it that way, and I want to do it that way. And lo and behold, everyone's going to want to make sure that their shekel is going to be the one that's taken, and they're not going to be so much on the rule, which says that it's, it goes into a community pot. I don't know. Just find that difficult. Okay. Tani, shamat et hakat valiot nasukul on shirayin. So now the Gemara is going to bring a bunch of halachas about the collection of the funds from the chamber, from the lishka. So it says in the Brisa that once collecting the funds from the big pots, right, and he removed the leather covers that he placed on the baskets, so that he doesn't know now which one he has already been collected from and which not. And he puts the leather basket on and then takes the leather covering off. So then everything in the uncovered baskets becomes shirayim and can't be used for the korban tzibur. I don't know what you do then. Now you're not going to have any money for them to buy. He says here, in the case if the leather cover has been accidentally removed, there is no way of determining whether the shekels have already been collected from that basket, and no further shekels may be collected from that basket for the purchase of communal offerings. I guess this is done.
You have to go back to my basket.
I know, but there's a ton of coins.
Why don't you finish that basket up?
You have a lot of leftover money, so you're going to have a shortage eventually. You might have a shortage throughout the year now because you're just pushing off this whole basket. Yeah, I hear. Okay. So, Tani. Right, his tani was taught in a brisa. Shlishis hi haita ashirish shebekulon, the third collection fund, which was the funds that came from Chutz Laaretz, that had the most. Right, shahayuba is tirios shel zahav v'darkonos shel zahav, because it had both isterios and barracks, which are currencies from outside of gold, which makes sense. A lot of the bnei gulos stay in gulos because of financial reasons. Things don't change. They have wealth. There's a lot of wealth. Even always money from Chutz La'aretz is going to the yeshuv. Money from Chutz La'aretz goes into Eretz Yisrael.
But also because when the town goes and sends in their whole their shalom, they send it in. They're not sending it in with individual coins.
They're putting it all on.
They put it into a large.
Yeah, but that shouldn't change the value.
It does because that you wait till the basket gets filled up. If the basket gets filled up with those individual towns, they're putting in larger coins.
But these phones, in addition to that, I think that their gold and good coins and the currency that they would send in was a more valuable currency. They're sending dollars as opposed to shekels.
Exactly. But the basket still has to fill up the same amount.
Yeah, so there's a lot more there.
A lot more money.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. There's a lot more. Agreed. Okay. Tani, so now the Bryce has just fixed what we said in the Mishnah. Tani, Tarmas are showing that when you collect the funds from the first basket, you say L'shem Eretz Yisrael, or L'shem Kol Yisrael, for everybody. Shniyah L'shem Karachim Akafim, or L'shem Kol Yisrael, for everybody. Shlish L'shem Bavel Amad, L'shem Adidas HaRechokos, L'shem Kol Yisrael. It has to be for everybody, on behalf of everybody. Okay, Tani, another rule. Natal Mimi Rishona, right, you take, right, Natal Mimi Rishona, So after the shekels are first taken from the first basket, labeled Aleph, now although the shekels now remain in the first basket, then you take from the second basket. I guess when it came time to take the money for the prosachag, you took from, even though there was more left in the first basket, you still took from the second basket. Now it came to the third time to take money, even though there was coins still left in the second basket, you took from the third basket. So now what happens is, shlomo shlishis, let's say you took money from the third basket, and now you don't have enough, right? You have a shortage, then chozo l'shniyah, you can go back to the second basket. Shlomo shniyah, let's say earlier, if you're up to the second time, and you're taking money from the second basket, and you run out of funds, you can go back to the pot to take from the first basket. Shlomo shloshdan, now what happens if all three baskets are emptied? Then you go back into the chamber and do this again. You go back to the bigger pot and take everything out again. Rav Meir Omer, no, chozer l'shirayim. You don't have to, he goes back. What is this case? Rav Meir says, no, you don't have to go back. Then Rav Meir says, chozer l'shirayim. You go back and take over the leftover shekels. From where? So Rav Meir Omer, molim b'shirayim, shemi yitzarch l'metzoh. Rav Meir says that the leftover shekels still maintain their kedusha because in the end you may use them again. So what's that? So he says, I guess the case is when the third basket is emptied, you go back to the second basket. If the second basket is emptied, you go from the first basket.
So he's saying that note number 12 is that when you go back, when you're on the box, but the third, you go back to the second, it's only for new ones that came in. The shirayim.
That's why he's mauled them. He says that there's still me'il in the shirayim because they maintain. So you don't have to go back. So what's
the case? Why don't you just finish up the bucket and eliminate the problem?
I don't know.
If funds are needed, you only expect some new contributions that arrive since the previous withdrawal because those coins, the ones previously have become shirayim, and they lose their kedusha.
But Rav Meir says that they don't lose the kedusha, so you can take it from the shirayim. Okay. B'chein haya Rav Pinchas ben Yari Omir. I'm not sure what the connection here. The connection here has to be since you have to prove yourself and make sure that you're guiltless in the eyes of people when you're taking out the money from the lishka. So they quote Rav Pinchas ben Yari, whose Bryce is famous because it's the skeleton for the Mesilas Yesharim. Even though here it's sometimes the different yourselves of what leads to what. So Kenai Prince Ya Omer, Zerizus, right? He says alacrity leads to Zerizus, maybe the Nikias, to cleanliness. Nikias may be the Tahara, cleanliness brings it to purity. Tahara may be the Kedusha, purity brings you to holiness. Kedusha may be the Anava, holiness brings you to humility. Anava may be the Yiras Chait, humility brings you to the fear of sin. Yiras Chait may be the Chasidus, fear of sin leads you to piety. Chasidus mevil de Ruach HaKodesh, piety brings you to having Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Ruach HaKodesh mevil de Tchias HaMesim, the Holy Spirit brings you to the resurrection of the dead. And Tchias HaMesim mevil de Eliyahu Zochlotov. And Tchias HaMesim will lead into the Eliyahu coming, which was the preceding the arrival of Mashiach. And he broke quotes Pesukim. Zerizus mevil to the Nikius, Right, alacrity brings you to cleus, to cleanliness. Diksev, the pasuk says, v'chila mikaper, right? And when he has made an end of atoning, right? He made an end, our quote said, it means that he was careful, he was alacrity, he was zrizus, since he wants to bring about the conclusion, that's going to bring him to having kapara, which is nikius. And then nikius mevilei tahara, cleanliness brings you to tahara, diksev, v'chiper aleha kohen v'tahira. When you have the kiper, right, which is the nikius, then tahara, then you become tahar. Tahara veil de kedusha. So now purity leads to holiness. Dixiv tiaro vikisho, kedusha mevilu de anava. And now holiness brings you to humility. Dixiv, the pasuk says, kiko amar ram v'nisa shochin ad v'kadosh shemo marom v'kadosh eshkon v'es daka ushval ruach. Right, high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell on high and in the holy place, yet with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. So you're talking about someone who's kadosh, leads you to humility. And now humility, anava mevilei yiras chait, humility leads you to a fear of sin. The pasuk says, ekev anava yiras Hashem. Following humility comes to fear of God, which is fear of sin. Yiras chait mevil de chasidus. Yiras chait brings you to chasidus, right? Okay. Dechsev v'chesed mehashem Hashem me olam ve'ad olam al yirayav. The chesed comes from those who fear him. Chasidus mevil de ruach hakodesh. So then piety leads you to ruach hakodesh. Dechsev as dibarta bechazon lechasidecha. Then you spoke in a vision to your chasidim, to those who were pious. And then Ruach HaKodesh revealed that they took us to Mesim. The pasuk says, V'nasati ruchi b'chem v'chiyesem. This is by the dry bones, I think. I put my spirit in you, and then you'll live. So if you have the Ruach HaKodesh, you have his spirit, it brings to Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim revealed that Elio Zachor HaTov. Tchias HaMesim brings Elio. The Ksiv, Hinei Anochi Shaleich Lachem, Es Elio Anavi Lifnei Vobu Yom HaShem HaGadol V'Hanora. That day is referring to Tchias HaMesim, and it says that see, that day of Tchias HaMesim, I will bring to you Elio and Avi. Okay, Tana B'Shem Rabbi Meir. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Kol Misha Kavua Be'Eretz Yisrael. This should be a reason to make Aliyah. Whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael, Midaber B'Lashon HaKodesh. And you have to speak Hebrew. You can't speak English. Midaber B'Lashon HaKodesh. V'Ochol Peirosa B'Tahara. And you eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael in purity. V'Krorer Kriya Shema B'Boker U'Be'erev. And he reads Shema in the morning and the evening. Yeah, Mavusar Shebein Olam Abahu. You're going to know, and you can be rest assured, that he is a Ben Olam Haba. Harjan Alach Perek B'Shlosha Prakim. Harjan Alach Perek Shlosha Prakim. Harjan Alach Perek Shlosha Prakim. You know, we'll stop here. We'll do the Mishnah tomorrow.